Amen. And we're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. It's good to see all of you here in the house of the Lord this morning. So thankful that you're here. It's so good to see Bill here this morning. God bless you, Bill. Praise the Lord. And we're praying for Bill every service. Amen. Romans chapter 5, and then we're going to go to the book of Revelation chapter 12. And I have ministered on this a little bit. We're going to get a little more in depth here this morning because I feel like the Lord wants us to really understand this. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Doesn't sound like a very positive thing, does it? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Turn with me here this morning. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Praise God. Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning? I'm glad I'm in the house of God this morning. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them day and night. Amen. When we look at this here this morning, it presents a problem to us because all have sinned. If we were to go to the scriptures this morning, we would understand that the penalty of sin is death. And so we have a real problem here. We have a real problem that we must face, a real problem that we must understand and get a hold of in our mind and in our spirit and in our heart to understand God's working in our life. God wants to work in your life. God wants to work in my life. And we can listen to the voice of the Lord, or we can listen to the voice of the devil, or your flesh, or this world. Amen. But I want to hear from God this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you for the touch of the Holy Ghost today. We ask you, Lord, to anoint your word to speak to our hearts. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. If you'll turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 1, we can see here that there was a really, really good man, and his name was Job, and that's J-O-B, that's not Job, that's Job, and we want to look at it here. Job chapter 1 and verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? I want you to see that this morning, that there was a hedge about Job. And you can say, well, it's because he was a perfect man. That does not mean perfect in the sense of no flaws, but he was a very complete, a very mature man when it came to his relationship with the Lord. Amen. Doesn't mean that he did everything exactly right, because there were some mistakes that he made in this situation. And yet God built a hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he had on every side. Let's read a little further. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. So notice there's a hedge about everything that he has. God has blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased. So there was an increase as well. Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And so the devil is the accuser. I don't really understand everything completely about the book of Job and the story of Job here, but Satan went about through all of the earth, walking to and fro, the Bible says, in the earth. And as he walked to and fro in the earth, he was looking for something to stand before the Lord and make accusation. And so he came before the Lord, and the Lord brought up Job before him because there was nothing that Satan could say about him. And it would have been futile and probably in his mind to bring it up. But the Lord brought it up. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Praise God. And what we've got to see this morning, I want to title this today if I can. I want to talk about the dilemma this morning, the dilemma. We're in a dilemma if we're not careful. And if we don't really see things as they really are, then we're going to find ourselves in this dilemma. You know, a dilemma is like what we would call a catch-22 or something that, you know, if I try here, it's not going to work. I'm going to try here, it won't work. If I try this, it's not going to work. And you find yourself in a hopeless situation. That's what a dilemma is. And there is a dilemma today if we're not careful. You can find yourself in a position where you feel like there's no hope, and you can get yourself in a position where you feel like there is no answer for you as an individual. God can bless others, but he's not going to bless me. I've been there, and I'm sure you've been there as well. Amen. If you have, say amen. All right. Well, I'm in good company here this morning, and so we have a dilemma here today. And the devil said, "Well, I'm going to accuse him. I'm going to suppose that there are some things down deep inside of him that's not right. And if you will allow me to take everything that he has, if you will remove the hedge from me, then he will curse you to your face." I'm not going to go into that part of it here this morning, but I would like to start out by saying God has built a hedge about us. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God has built a hedge about your life, and the very first thing that you've got to do when you start out with the Lord is you've got to get this part of it established in your mind. You've got to get it established in your heart. God is for me. Praise the Lord. Not only has he put a hedge about us, a hedge is, like a hedgerow. You've seen a hedgerow, and it hedges things back. It keeps things back. In those days, they would build a hedge, and they would make it with thorns and a very thick hedge. I planted some things at the house, and they were just little bitty sticks when I planted them a few years ago, and they've turned into a big hedge, and they're full of thorns, and they're so thick that a man could never get through them, and an animal probably couldn't get through them because it's just so thick. That's what a hedge is. And when God saved us, when we were baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost, there was a hedge that was built about us. Amen. No man can steal us out of his hand. No devil can steal us out of his hand. The only way that we can ever get out of his hand is to step off of his hand and to walk away from the comfort and the peace and the security of being in the hand of God. I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that you're in the hand of God today? Amen. Do you really believe that deep down in your heart this morning? Do you feel like when you get up in the morning that everything is going to be all right because God is in my life? Amen. It's very important what goes on between your ears. Amen. It's very important. Praise God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you wake up in the morning thinking that you're going to be a loser that day, you probably fulfill your personal wish for yourself. Amen. Or your personal belief for yourself. But what we've got to do as overcomers, We've got to understand where we are in God. Amen. We've got to understand that not only has he built a hedge about us, and the devil does not have the opportunity to come and molest us. Amen. He does not have the ability or the power, unless, of course, in the situation with Job, where he was allowed to do something, there is no way that he can touch you. Praise God. In fact, we have the ability to cast out devils. With the Holy Ghost in us, we can cast out devils. We can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. We can drink a deadly thing and it will not hurt us. And that's not tempting God. And I don't suggest anybody go out and drink a glass of gasoline or something like that. That's not what that's talking about. But we have authority this morning. Well, praise God. I want that to sink in a little bit. I hope that you already know that. But we have authority this morning. Amen. We have the favor of God upon us. And not only is there a hedge that is built around us. Amen. The Bible says that you have blessed all of the substance. Amen. You have blessed him on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands. And his substance is increased in the land. Amen. Oh, praise God. If we could just see where we are in God this morning. We could just understand who we are and what God has afforded to us. Praise God. But we've got this problem this morning. We've got this dilemma. And that dilemma is that none of us here this morning are perfect. And none of us this morning have got it all together in our lives. And we may as well just go ahead and admit it. You struggle with things. We all struggle with things. We are subject to vanity, the Bible says. We were made subject to vanity, not willingly. We don't like this. We don't like it when the flesh rises up. We don't like it in this world sometimes. We don't like the fact that there is a devil in this world. We don't like it. We don't want to be subject to these things, but God made us this way, amen, so that no flesh would be able to glory in his presence. And what God is looking to establish and install in our lives is the understanding that I don't have to be perfect. Amen. I don't have to do everything just exactly right. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and steal a car this morning and everything is going to be all right between me and God. It doesn't mean that I can go out and murder someone and be all right with God. Amen. But I'm talking about this struggle that we have, this wrestling match that's going on the inside of your life. And it's going on with us here this morning. Praise God. And we've got to look at this dilemma. Well, if we have authority and we have power, then why am I struggling like I'm struggling? There's those questions that come up in our mind. And we all face these things. Why do I not feel saved if I'm saved when I receive the Holy Ghost and I'm baptized in his name? Why is it that I struggle with certain things in my life? I'm here this morning to try to help you today. Praise God. Because there is an answer to this dilemma. And it is complete trust and confidence in the Word of God, and not just in the Word of God, but in the love of God. And if you'll try it this morning, if you will establish this in your life, I guarantee you this morning, you will come up to a higher place spiritually with God. Amen. Because if you don't, you're going to be struggling and wrestling, struggling and wrestling, struggling and wrestling all the days of your life. And unfortunately, there are folks that sit on pews. Amen. There are folks that go and come to apostolic churches that feel condemned and feel unworthy and feel like they're never going to come to the place where God is going to be able to bless them and to have that spiritual victory and joy that God has for us. But I'm here to dispute that this morning. that you can come up to a higher place in your life. Amen. You can come to a place of joy, a place of peace. Amen. Peace with yourself and peace with God. Amen. And so we've got to see this dilemma here this morning and what it is that is against us. If you go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, there's a story here we're all familiar with. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. But of the tree, let's go to verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That's a lot of trees. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And so we look at this, and we're in this body of flesh here this morning. If I were to look around, actually right here there's a big wall. There's a big area right here where we do the projection of the songs. And if I were to just put a black dot right there in that wall, maybe I should have got me a black sticker this morning and put it on that wall and ask everybody, if you could just imagine this morning that you're looking at this wall and right about here, it looks like there's a little thing right there. We'll just put that black dot right there. I'm not going to get a magic marker out, but it would serve to remind us for a while anyway. If I ask Nathan to come and walk by this wall and say, and there's no flowers and there's no pillars, it's just that square wall with that black dot in the middle, and I ask Nathan, what do you see? Nathan would say, I see a black dot. And if I asked Isaac, what would you see? What would you see if you walked by that wall? You'd see a black dot. If you walked by, what would you see? A black dot. What would you see, Courtney? You'd see a black dot. Elizabeth, a black dot. See, I got all the young people on my side here this morning. I love these young people. Praise God. And so if I asked everybody here in this room this morning, what would you see? Probably everybody would say, I see the black dot. But very few people would walk by and say, I see a white wall. There's probably 1,000 times more space on the wall than there is in the black dot. But we have this thing about us that we have a tendency to look at the negative things. Amen. Now, you might as well admit it here this morning. There's very few people that wake up in the morning positive and they're ready to go for the day. Amen. Well, you're a good example here this morning. Praise God. You're a very good example here this morning. And we're not positive thinkers usually, but there are some that have learned to look at the white wall. And I'm not going into a psychology class here this morning, but the Lord gave them a white wall. Praise God. We ought to shout about that. God's given me every tree of the garden to freely eat. There's no restrictions on this. You can have as many bananas as you want to have. You can have as many oranges or apples or whatever fruit, pecans or whatever. You wake up in the morning and say, I want this. It's right there. Just go freely eat. Just whatever you want, it's there and it's at your disposal. Praise God. I'm telling you this morning, my friend, we've got so much that God has given to us. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And I'm telling you what, there are some black dots. Amen. But we're not going to focus our attention upon that this morning. But there is a dilemma. And there was a dilemma here in the garden. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not. Now, all of a sudden, there's that negative commandment. Thou shalt not. But before the negative commandment, there was a positive commandment that said, you can. You can do all this. You can have all this fun. You can do anything you want to do here. It's free for you. I've set it up. There's not going to be any opposition to you whatsoever. But I want to know what's going on in your mind, Adam and Eve. I want to know what you're thinking, because what you're thinking is going to ultimately result in a good relationship with me or a bad relationship with me. Praise God. And so I want to know what's going on in your mind. And so he put in the middle of that black or that white wall, he put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil right there in the midst of the garden. Amen. Right there in the middle. You can't miss it. It doesn't matter where you go. It's there. It's right there before you. Praise God. And so there are some things that we need to look at this morning. James chapter 1 and verse 13, it says this: let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so we've got to look at this here. The problem is not with God. The problem is with me. Amen. I'm not going to leave us here this morning in this place. It's a dilemma that we face, but there is an answer to this dilemma this morning. And so when we are tempted, there is no sin in temptation. Now, you need to hear this morning. To be tempted, you could be tempted to go rob a bank after church this morning and get all the money out of the vault. But if you don't do it, nobody can come and arrest you because you haven't broken any law. I hope nobody has that temptation this morning. I really do. Amen. But temptation, it covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And of course, there's the devil again. And he's in the tree, and he's talking to Eve and Adam, and he's saying, it's going to be so sweet. Come and eat this fruit. Oh, you're going to be like God. Oh, and he begins to sow discontentment in such a subtle way. Amen. You know, snakes hiss. Anybody there this morning? I mean, laugh even if it's not funny, okay? Help me out this morning. Make me feel like I'm here. Praise God. It's going to be so great. It's going to be so awesome. Oh, it's wonderful. And oh my, in our society, it's so free. We think that we have this big white wall and there's no black dots. In our world today, it's a big old white wall that says you can do anything, and the black dot is the church. Amen. The black dot is the Word of God, and the restrictions and the thou shalt nots are the hindrance and the blockage to blessings and all of that. But in reality, the problem is not with God. The problem is with me. Amen. And I can be an overcomer through Jesus Christ, which means I can overcome anything that comes against me. I don't have to run from my problems. Amen. I said I don't have to run from my problems. I can face my problems. Praise God. And I remember having dreams where I thought I was going to die, or I was going to fall off a cliff or something like that, and wake up just fearful and afraid. And when I was a child, I had these fears, and discovered that when I faced my fears, when I was in the middle of a dream, instead of running from whatever it was that was chasing me, have you ever had a dream like that? And you're running from it, and your feet are feeling like lead, and you can't get away, and you feel this dread that something's going to overcome you. Anybody ever have those kind of dreams? You need to stop running. You need to just stop and turn around and attack whatever it is that's chasing you. Because it's just a dream. You're not going to die. Praise God. Some of you are looking at me like, oh, those dreams are scary. Well, I'll tell you what, you can be scary to your dream. And after a while, it will leave you. Amen. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee. He's not just going to turn and walk away. He is going to run. Amen. Like a puppy with his tail between his legs. And he is going to flee from you. And so the temptation came, and Eve ate of the fruit, Adam ate of the fruit of the tree. I'm not going to get into all of that here this morning, but from that, Romans 5 and 12, we read it this morning, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so Adam proved that in a perfect environment, it is difficult to live for God. On your own, without God's help, you can't live for God. Amen. You cannot rise above sin by waking up in the morning and reading some positive outlook statements. Well, praise God. How many's ever tried that? Yeah, wake up in the morning and find me a good positive saying. You know, that's going to energize me for the day. You find out after a while that the flesh takes over. Maybe I shouldn't even go here this morning, but I'm going to start tomorrow. How many's ever said that? I'm going to start tomorrow, and I'm going to get on my diet tomorrow. Oh, okay. I guess I'm hitting home here. Amen. I'm not eating right. I need to eat right. And so you jump into it and bless your heart. Brother Reed's a good example of that. We're all good examples of that. He was watching everything. I think he probably still does. Yeah, all right. Yeah. And so that means it's gone. Praise God, basically. After a while, You pass by Krispy Kreme and the hot sign's on. Whew. And all of a sudden there's a magnetic pull of your steering wheel and it tries to get you to pull into the parking lot. And if you're strong, you can hold the steering wheel and go straight and the temptation will be behind you. But there are so many times I've been going by there and the hot sign's on, and I know they're going to give me a free donut. Did you know that? They'll give you a free one. If the hot sign's on, you go in, they'll give you a free one. And then you order a half a dozen because there's just two of us, you know. And, but for only a dollar more, you can get a whole dozen. Well, you've gone from, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, and you're standing there watching the donuts going up and down. And then somebody says, would you like a free one? Sure. Turn your back and take a bite. And you feel that guilt, and then guilt leaves you. Praise God. And all of a sudden, the desire to just dive off the diving board. Oh, I can start back tomorrow, right? I can get it back together tomorrow. Everything's going to be all right tomorrow. Amen. And somebody told us we bought something. Oh, we got some chocolate-covered strawberries at Sam's. We was buying stuff for the taco dinners, and they just happened to be making them fresh right there. Oh, they're only this much. And we checked out, and the lady at the front who sings and makes all of those things, she said, oh, you got the chocolate strawberries. They're only going to be good for another day. You sure that's going to be enough? And, that'll be enough. We're going to have one when we get in the car. She says, where do you live? So we live in Augusta. Oh, they won't even make it home, she said. And the devil was talking to us right there. He was speaking to our hearts. Come on, I'm just joking this morning. She wasn't the devil, but she was the tempter. Amen. And I'm telling you, before we got off of K96, they were gone. All of them, they were gone. Oh, they were so good. They were so good. But then you step on the scales 2 days later. What is it about a 6-ounce Krispy Kreme donut that puts 3 pounds on your weight? I don't understand these things. but it just has a way of, I got to get off of this. Y'all are going to fire me. Amen. Because you know that I know where you're living. Amen. And you know where I'm living. Praise God. And so we say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to keep my mind pure. I'm going to live right. And then all of a sudden, the same scenario begins to rise up within you. I'm going to be in church. And then something rises up and says, oh, well, it'll be all right to just miss one service. And then before you know it, you haven't been in months. And you feel condemnation and you feel the guilt after the fact that you gave in to that temptation. Folks, we're in a dilemma today without this understanding. And I want to try to help us this morning to understand. I'm not going to preach a long time this morning, but we've got to understand this. By one man, sin entered into the world, and so all have sinned. Amen. And they fell into sin. We have fallen into sin. Their children, their firstborn was a murderer. Amen. And it was because of their fallen nature and their fallen state. Amen. And this is the very place that the devil wants us to be. This is the very place that the enemy of your soul wants you to be. Amen. Because when you're in a place where there is this great dilemma in your life and you don't know how to rise up any higher, and you don't know how to get the victory over these things, the devil has free course in your life because there is no hope and there is no place that you feel like you can go. Amen. There's no hope, no place that I can go. There's no way out of this situation. And so I may as well give up. I may as well give in. I may as well just go ahead. If I'm going to be lost, I'll just go ahead and have fun and be lost and all of that. But I'm telling you today, it is a dilemma that doesn't have to exist in your life this morning. Praise God. You say, well, how can I rise up to the place where I'm going to become perfect? I'm here to tell you today, you can hear folks that minister the Word of God. I say minister the Word of God, but they minister condemnation because there are so many thou shalt nots, amen, that they are focusing on that black dot right there. But I'm here to tell you there is more for us than there is against us. And you're not going to be a perfect person. Well, praise the Lord. I'm preaching to folks of like mind here this morning. You preach that in some places and you'll be condemned and criticized. But I'm here to tell you today that there's not a one of them that's ever perfect. Praise God. It's a cover-up. Amen. It's just a cover-up of something that really needs to be addressed. And so they fell, and God is ready to kick them out of the garden because now they have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in their fallen state, he had to remove them from the garden. Amen. And remove them into this world where now it is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what's in this world. Praise God. That's where he sent them because that's what they chose. And that's where all of us are born. We are born into this world now. We're born in that realm. The Garden of Eden does not exist anymore. It is not here anymore because... Well, praise God. If they would have not sinned, this earth could have become the Garden of Eden. And the garden could have continued to expand and to grow as their children grew. And righteousness would rule the earth. But the scripture does tell us when Jesus comes back that righteousness will reign on the earth. Amen. The devil will be bound for 1,000 years. Amen. And we will long enjoy the fruits of our labor, just like Adam and Eve did. And then we'll get to be with Him for all of eternity. Praise God. But instead of a growing Garden of Eden, now there was a shrinking Garden of Eden and a growing of the black dot. It got bigger and bigger and worse until nations were formed and nations were against nation and bloody corpses were laying on the ground and men devised methods of torture and methods of war and methods of hate. And here we are today in our world. I look back over the 1900s, and I believe that I'm safe in saying that in the 1900s, there were more people that were killed by war than probably in the history of all of mankind. When you look at the millions that were killed by the Chinese government and the millions and the hundreds of thousands that were killed by Russia and killed by the religious people, that goes even further back. But there are literally tens and hundreds of millions of people that have perished. Just in our day today, just in the last few years, almost 500,000 people have perished in the country of Syria alone. There is trouble on every hand. And the humanists of our day say, well, the answer is within you. The goodness is within you. And we just need to get along with each other and accept each other. And we're looking at a generation today that does not understand this dilemma. And they are whole hog, if you please, going for Satan, going for sin, and feeling like that is the exact way they need to go. But I'm telling you this morning, for us here this morning, it's a different story. Praise God. Because we've been there and done that. Most of us have been there and done that. And we understand that sin does not satisfy. Come on, somebody. Sin does not bless your life, does not help you. And some that are struggling here this morning, you say, well, I honestly don't know anybody that's struggling personally. No one has come to me and told me that they're struggling with this. But I know when the Lord speaks to my heart about these things, I'm telling you, you're struggling with some things, and we struggle with the past. We struggle with the things that we have done, the sins that we have committed, the places we've gone, the things that we've said, the people we've offended. Come on, you know I'm talking to all of us here this morning. And we can live under condemnation or we can live in freedom from that. Well, how can I do that? Last week I did something that I wasn't supposed to do. Yesterday I sinned. What am I supposed to do? There's a dilemma. I try to rise myself up. I try to lift myself up, and I find myself going right back down again. And it's simply because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And Paul spoke of this in Romans chapter 7. Now, we're looking at the Apostle Paul here today. This was a mighty, mighty preacher of the gospel and was a martyr for the Lord. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Let's look at it this morning. Are y'all there? All right. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. There's the mighty warrior of the gospel, the Apostle Paul. He said, I've come to understand that in me, that is in this flesh of my body, this corruptible body that I live in, there is no good thing. You see where the problem is. The problem comes in is when we don't understand this. Well, praise God. There is, in the story of Adam and Eve that we were talking about, they sinned, they realized they were naked, they covered themselves with aprons, fig leaves to make aprons, and then the Lord covered them, didn't he? The Lord killed an animal, blood was shed, and God gave them coats to cover themselves so that he would not see the shame of their nakedness. But not only that, so that they wouldn't see their own nakedness. Well, praise God. Paul looks at himself here and he says, I don't like what I see. I look in the mirror and I don't like what I see. Some folks look in the mirror and they really love what they see. And, of course, their problem is obvious. Amen. Except to them. Amen. But if you look in the mirror this morning and you look at that person that's staring back at you and say, you no good, dirty, rotten thing, you know what? You're on the right track. Because that's what Paul came to. If we don't understand the dilemma and the answer to the dilemma, we're going to be caught up in it over and over and over again. Now, I don't want to present that when you look in the mirror and you say that to yourself, that you go through the rest of the day saying that to yourself. But it is an understanding of where you're at without God. That's all that is. It's not a continual put down of yourself. It's not a continual, well, I'm a failure and I'm always going to be a failure. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. But I'm talking about an understanding of who I really am. Folks, I'm in the same dilemma that you're in. Everybody in this world is in this dilemma today. If I lose sight of God's salvation in my life, I'm in trouble. Because if I lose sight of the covering that he has given to me, if I lose sight of all of the white wall that he has made afforded to me, that I can eat freely, that I can have freely, the hedge that's about me, the blessings of all that I'm doing that God is blessing me with. Anybody feel blessed here this morning? Amen. You know why you're blessed? Because God's blessed you. There's a hedge about you. There is the smile of God upon your life today. Praise God. Well, praise God. But it's not the will of God to wake up in the morning and say, well, I feel bad, so I'm bad. Listen, yes, we're bad without God. But with God, he smiles upon us. With God, I can do all things. Through Christ, I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. Praise God. And so the dilemma takes a different turn for the child of God. Without God, we're in a continual dilemma in our life. There's no hope. The Bible says that there was a time that we were without hope. And we have no hope without God because there's no way to escape sin. There's no way to escape. Come on, somebody, help me. There's no way. No way to escape this old flesh. When you really want to go, it says, I don't want to go. When it says worship, when you say worship, your flesh says, don't worship. When you say, well, are you ready for this? Pray. Yeah, you want to get your grocery list put together? Just call a time of prayer. Well, praise the Lord. It's true. You want to remember all the things that you need to do? Just call a little season of prayer. Oh, God, I need you. And all of a sudden, it's amazing how your memory is enhanced through prayer. You start thinking about everything that you got to do and everything that you haven't done, and And then you start thinking about this, that, and the other. And before you know it, you say, well, I just don't get a whole lot out of prayer. Amen. And I just don't feel the victory. I'll tell you what you got to understand is you're in a body of flesh. And what we have to do is understand that God wants to give us victory over our flesh. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you did not become an angel. You did not become immortal, meaning that you can still get sick with the Holy Ghost in your life. Praise God. Yes, God is my healer, but I've come to understand that He chooses not to heal every time. I don't understand that completely, but be it as it may, amen. Some of you this morning came with a headache this morning with the Holy Ghost in your life, with the victory of God in your life, with the covering of God. What we have to do in this dilemma situation is we have to go back to our knowledge and we have to go back to our trust and our faith. I hope I can articulate this morning, that it will actually help somebody. You've got to come to the place of faith and trust in God's grace in your life. Okay? If we have a court situation, amen. And I'm only going to do this morning because our church is not going to be set up as a courtroom. We're not setting up our church as a courtroom, where if Nathan messes up, we're going to have a church meeting and we're all going to decide whether or not he's guilty and whether or not we're going to kick him out of the church. We're not going to do that. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Because you know what? All of us would be outside the door. And we'd be looking in saying, what do we do now? Where do we go now? We're all guilty. We've all sinned. And so we're not going to set it up that way. We never have. But for this morning, we are. Over here, Nathan, come over here, since you're already a sinner this morning. Come over here and just stand here and face the folks. This man's on trial. He sinned. Everybody go, ooh, ooh, he sinned. Bad person right here. And he hasn't done what's right. Isaac, come over here and stand right here. And Isaac is the prosecuting attorney. And Nathan stole a pack of chewing gum from Dylan's. Everybody go, ooh, ooh. He stole a pack of chewing gum from Dylan's. And Isaac saw him do it. And he's the prosecuting attorney. Come up here, Hunter. You knew I was going to use you. I want you to stand right there and face these guys. He's the judge. He is the man that is the law, and he's going to enforce the law. And so Isaac tells him, this man stole a pack of chewing gum from Dylan's, and I saw him. And so Hunter asks Nathan, did you do that? And Nathan drops his head, and he says, yes. He's not going to say yes because I know he didn't do that. Amen. You guys can sit down. But Hunter represents the law, the judge, and we're all guilty. So what do? Kick him out. He's not worthy to be among us because he's guilty. And Isaac's over there just a smiling, yeah, yeah. That power feels really good. I was able to kick somebody out. I was able to judge somebody. Amen. It feels really good. But I'm telling you, after a while, Isaac's going to be over here, and Nathan's going to be over here, and Hunter's still going to be standing right here. He's the lawgiver. He is the judge. He is the one that set all of the rules and enforces all of the rules. And so because of all of these rules that we're all going to break, he has the authority to destroy all of us. He did that in the flood, right? And so what did the lawgiver do? What did the judge do? The judge and the lawgiver became the propitiation. Amen. And you look that up in your Bible. That's a word in your Bible. That means, come on back up here, Nathan. Hunter, come up here. He has said you're guilty. Go ahead. I saw him do it. We established that he's guilty. And Hunter says, you're guilty. Just say it. You're guilty. Come on, get into it. You're guilty.
Guilty.
You're guilty. It's not a laughing matter now. It doesn't work that way with you and I. We drop our heads and we say, oh God, I'm so sorry. But then Hunter says, I could pass a sentence upon this man, but because he says, please have compassion on me and forgive me of my sin. Would you please give me another chance? I really want to do what's right. The compassion of the judge, he says, I'll pay the price for your sin.
Right.
Well, praise God. All right, so now you've done that. You two can sit down, and now Nathan is all done, and it's all paid for. Everything's okay, and Nathan leaves the courtroom. How are you going to leave the courtroom?
Excited.
Excited. Good job.
Amen. Amen.
Wait a minute. How can you be excited? You sinned. How can your sins are forgiven? They've been washed away. Go ahead. Sit down, Nathan. How many times do we walk out of God's courtroom after feeling the powers of the world to come? Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm just a nobody. I'm a nothing. I can't do anything right. I sinned yesterday. I did something I wasn't supposed to do. Well, did God forgive you? Yeah, God forgave me, but, you know, I'm still just a no good, rotten, dirty sinner. Hey, listen, I'm telling you what you've got to do. You've got to get faith and trust in the forgiveness of the judge. Well, praise God. Praise God. And it'll modify how you treat others, because when you leave that courtroom and somebody else does something wrong, you say, I know where you're at, man. I've got empathy and sympathy for you. And if somebody comes along and says, hey, Nathan, I stole one of those slivers of chewing gum out of that package that you stole, and you say, give it back to me. Well, I already used it. I can't do it. I said, give it back to me, and he gets mad and angry at that person. That's not right. Amen. But what we've got to do is we've got to understand this dilemma this morning, that we are all sinners. We have all fallen from the grace of God. But thank God, that propitiation, that word propitiation simply means somebody who stands in their stead. And you know who stood in our stead? It was our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he went to that cross and he suffered the shame and the agony and the pain of Calvary, so that when we stand before him at the altar, praise God, that's where we're judged. We're judged at the altar. Praise God. You don't lift your hand this morning, but how many of you have ever sinned and then you came to church, and when you came to church or you went to prayer, all of a sudden you felt the Holy Ghost? Say, so how could I feel the Holy Ghost? I just sinned. You know what? My God paid the price. And if we're repentant and we ask him sincerely to forgive us, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. If you're not repentant, then you got problems that you're going to have to deal with. You're on your way out to that black space, amen, if I could say it that way. You're out of the garden. You're headed in the wrong direction, amen. But for those of you that are sincere this morning and you really want to be saved, amen, there is repentance, turning from. Well, I turned from it, but then I fell back into it again. You know what? The Bible says the righteous falls seven times, and he gets back up again. You know what God's looking for? People that'll just get back up again and walk in faith and walk in trust. I believe the word of God. I'm trusting in God's love. I know that God loves me. I'm so sorry. In me there is no good thing. I know that. I understand that. I've got that part nailed down. But thanks be to God. Amen. Paul didn't stop there in that writing. I want to read the rest of it this morning. He said, I know in me there is no good thing. What I would want to do that's right, I don't do it. And what I shouldn't do, I end up doing it. And then he said, for evil is present with me. Amen. You know what that means, folks? You're going to struggle with this flesh that you're living in all the days of your life. I'm going to struggle with it. You're going to struggle with it. There are going to be temptations and fears and doubts and all of those things that will come to you all the days of your life. And he said, he went on down and he said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I believe that Paul understood this completely here. He understood that without God, he was a wretched man. Without God, he was an evil man. Without God, he had the capacity to murder people. Amen. And he did. He was behind a lot of that. He was very evil and filled with pride and all of that. But when I read Romans chapter 7 here, I don't read a letter from a haughty man. I don't read a letter from somebody who does not have a contrite and a broken spirit. And if you feel like Paul felt right there, you're in a very good place this morning. Because you can't trust in God when you trust in your flesh. You can't trust in God when you're leaning on your flesh. Come on, somebody. You can't walk in the Spirit when you're walking in the flesh all the time. Praise God. But when we walk in the Spirit, the devil come along and say, you're a wretched person. You can say, without Jesus, you're absolutely right. But with him, I have a hedge about me. With him, I've got a big paradise. Amen. And it's growing, it's prospering. You're blessing the fruits of his labor, and it's increasing. Amen. My joy is increasing. My hope is increasing. My walk with God is going to another level. And yes, there are struggles, and yes, there are trials and tribulations. But Paul finishes it here, and he says, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He didn't say, thank God I'm sinning with my flesh, but in my mind I'm saved. That's not eternal security right there, but it is an understanding of who we are as human beings, as sinful creatures. Amen. Sinful human beings. Amen. And the understanding of the glorious salvation that God has given to us. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. We're all going to stumble and fall with something. But he went on in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Turn with me. There is therefore now no condemnation. Praise God. Nathan, when you left that courtroom, did you feel condemned? Why? Because you wasn't condemned. Because condemnation is no longer on my life. This penalty of death is no longer on me. Praise God. Oh, yes, I failed. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I'm a wretched person. I struggle with this all the time, but I'm telling you what, we've got to rise in our mind that it's not a carnal mind, but a spiritual mind, and have the thoughts of God in our mind to the place where we can say there is no condemnation to them who are now in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And so, praise God.
Amen.
Come on back up over here, Nathan. He stole a pack of bubble gum from Dylan's. Guilty. He's got his head down. The judge says, I'm paying the price for you. You're redeemed. Praise God. He walks out of the courtroom a forgiven man. But if you leave that courtroom and say, I stole a pack of chewing gum. And the next day, I stole a pack of chewing gum. And the next day, I stole a pack of chewing gum. And the next day, I'm a thief. I'm no good. You know what? There's two laws, folks. I'm going to finish with this here this morning. But there are two laws. One is the law of sin and death that says you're guilty. And he was guilty. I said he was guilty. But there is a law of the Spirit of life. A law of the Spirit of life that is more powerful than the law of sin and death. And instead of waking up in the morning and saying, I stole a pack of chewing gum yesterday. Did you get forgiven from God? Yeah, but I'm a no good person. Well, you've got to come to the place where you can say, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free.
Amen.
That's the law that I'm living under today.
Amen.
The law says free. You can be seated. Go and have a good time. Praise God. Praise God. You say, well, how could God forgive David when he committed adultery and then murdered her husband? We have got to get a hold of sincerity in repentance and then getting up and going on with your life. Well, praise God. I feel the Lord here this morning. Somebody needs to hear this today. I'm not going to wake up in the morning and 30 days from now, I stole a pack of bubble gum. No, because the law says I'm forgiven. That's what the law says. Well, but I don't feel good about myself. That's all right. That'll change because after a while, you're looking at yourself, but God's looking at his plan for your life. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a blessing comes along. And you're blessed all of a sudden. All of a sudden, you got more than what you had before, and you're like, where'd that come from? What happened here? Must be a fluke. It can't be because I'm pleasing to God. You know, it might just be fate that brought this along my way. No, I'll tell you what, there's a hedge about you. Did you know this morning there's a hedge about our church? Praise God. Anybody feel what I'm feeling here this morning? I know I'm not shouting and jumping and running and all that, but that's okay. I've got to get this point across this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Not only is there a hedge about us, but God has blessed the fruits of our labor. God is blessing your life. Amen. God is blessing your life. And it's not going to stop. Praise God. Many years ago, we were only here 3 years, and the Lord spoke to me and said, go full time and teaching Bible studies and reaching people. I said, God, we don't have enough money coming in here to pay the bills. How are we going to do this? I was paying the bills with the money I was working with. And the Lord just kept speaking to me. And I told one of the elder ministers, actually his brother elder in Hutchison, who's passed away. And I told him what the Lord was speaking to me about and what had happened. And I said, I've taken the leap. I took the leap. And I said, I don't know how long it's going to last. He looked at me, he said, brother, it's going to last a long time. And when I stepped out and believed God, all of a sudden the finances of the church just came up. And they've never gone back down again. Amen. I'm not looking for tomorrow to be a disaster. You know what? God is for me. How do I know that? Jesus went to Calvary and died for me. And so I know that God is for me. I'm not going to listen to the accuser. I'm not going to listen to this flesh. I'm not going to listen to this world. Amen. I'm not going to listen to any voice. Amen. That is a put down or a negative thing. Amen. Some folks love that, and they revel in that sort of thing. But I'm telling you what today, I've got a big, big white wall that God has given to me.
Amen.
Amen. And he said, come and freely eat.
Amen.
Come and freely eat. All you got to do is just block that one thing out. Yeah, there's some things we got to block out. But oh, praise God, there's some good things in there. Fresh, clean, tasty, good things. Pleasures forevermore, the Bible says. We need to have the joy of the Lord down inside of our heart. Well, praise God. We ought to be able to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. It's a blessed, blessed time to come into the house of God. And so, for the sinner, Sister Reed, would you come this morning? Amen. For the sinner, the dilemma has no, there's no answer for this. I'm caught in a cycle. I'm caught in a cycle. I change relationships and I end up in the same relationship. It's a cycle. It's over and over and over again. And every time it happens, I go down a little bit. And I go down a little bit. And I've seen it so many times, folks, that when they come to God, they're so low. And they're so down because they've just involved themselves in that destructive nature of sin. And it just pushes and pushes and pushes and pushes. But you know what? Whenever they come to God, they repent of their sins, get baptized in Jesus' name, and all of those sins are washed away.
Amen.
I see them do this. They start going up.
Right.
Praise God. And a year after they start coming to the church, you can't even recognize them anymore. They look clean. They look pure. They look holy. They love God. When they worship, they got a big smile on their face. Praise God. But isn't it amazing after a while? And they can come sit through a Holy Ghost service. You know, you say, well, they're just not a good person. No, none of us are good persons. They've just forgotten. They've forgotten about the dilemma. And they're allowing the flesh to begin to take over again. Don't let the flesh take over again in your life. Don't forget ever that God loves you. He'll be there for you. He will help you. If you'll just turn from those fleshly things and say no to the flesh, turn to God. Just keep turning to God.
Amen.
Yeah, but I'm. You know what? There's no hope for me. I've turned to God 1,000 times. Hey, get ready. Before the rapture takes place, you'll have turned to God 5,000 times.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes more than once in a day.
Right.
Praise the Lord. How many times have I said, God, put a guard on my tongue? And then all of a sudden I say something I'm not supposed to say. I'm like, oh, you wretched man. There's something down deep inside of you that's just not right. You need to go pray a little while. Get the victory over this. But I refuse to live in my past sins. That's what I'm talking about this morning, is my past sins, my past failures, all of those things. I'm going forward. I'm not under this dilemma anymore. And you don't need to be either. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. Praise God. If this message touched your heart, why don't you just lift your hands and thank God for it this morning?